Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. We've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties, and most of our business comes from referrals. Why? Because we make it so easy. Tight timeline, no problem. Groomsmen scattered all over? We got you. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Come see me at Knicks Menswear, and let's make this the easiest win for your wedding planning. Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
And I'm Scott Jagow. It is hour two of our KMOX New Year's Day special. Debbie Monterey starts things off taking a look at the potential impact of climate change in the new year.
Scientists are anticipating that 2024 is going to wrap up to be the warmest year on record globally. Not necessarily the hottest year we've had in St. Louis, but around the globe, 2024 was very hot, and that has a big impact on so many things. Joining me right now is garden scientist Adam Smith with the Missouri Botanical Garden. And Adam, what was St. Louis's hottest year if it wasn't 2024?
It was 2012, actually, and if you remember that year, it was extremely hot and extremely dry. Small plants, even smaller trees, even some mid-sized trees were really suffering and getting knocked out. So we didn't experience that this past year, but it was close.
How about last year? Last year was pretty hot, too. Was that second?
Yes, 2023 was the second hottest year. In fact, I have a list here of the hottest years, 10 hottest years in St. Louis. And I'll read them off. And I mean, the point is not to memorize the years, but just kind of listen to the general rhythm. So hottest year, 2012, second hottest year, 2023, third, 2016, 2017, 1921, 1991, 2021, 1990, 2015, 2011. And if you listen to that rhythm, what you heard was a lot of 20 somethings. And the last, for the 10 hottest years, seven of them fell in the 2000s since 2011. And that's really amazing because you wouldn't normally expect that if things were not warming, but they definitely are.
I think a lot of people, when they hear global warming and then they think, well, this wasn't a record year, but we should maybe refer to it as climate change instead, because we've had... If I'm thinking back on this year, we had so much rain at the beginning of the spring, it just never stopped. And then we hardly had any rain at all. I am imagining that has something to do with climate change, but it wasn't really great for plants and trees, was it?
No, it wasn't. Yeah, that is true. Global warming is a nice term. It sounds, you know, it sounds nice, like a nice, would you like a nice warm cup of tea or something like that? But it's really about climate, and climate is kind of everything. It's how much it rains, when it rains, whether it's foggy, how much wind it is, all that stuff is climate. And that is definitely changing. As you notice, we had a lot of rain at the beginning and then a very long kind of drought during the summer and then way too much rain more recently and lots of flooding. And that really actually fits the predictions for this area. So we expect to have in overall more rain, but it'll come in greater storms. And longer periods between those storms that have very dry periods, followed by too much rain, which tends to run off the land when the ground is really hard and dry. water doesn't soak in as easily unless it's already a little bit wet. And that's what really leads to flooding. And it's worse for plants and obviously worse for people.
Let's talk about plants, since you obviously are a garden scientist at Missouri Botanical Garden.
Sure.
And a lot of us love our yards and our plants. And I find myself sometimes just giving up by July or August because it's too hot. I don't care anymore. But it does really change your planning and how you're approaching the garden. Can you talk a little bit about the impact on plants that this hotter weather is having?
Yeah, sure. There's a lot of different ways that climate affects plants. One of the ways that we found, and this I'm naming here some work by my colleague at the garden, Matt Austin, one of the ways that we found that plants are responding is by blooming earlier in the season. In a sense, spring is coming earlier, and many of them are also blooming later. That is, fall is, in a sense, kind of extending further and later and later. So in quite a number of decades ago, in the 1920s, there was a garden scientist named Edgar Anderson who went out to Shaw Nature Reserve, and every week he would walk around and record what he was seeing. So my colleagues recreated those walks more recently in the 2000s, and we have compared what he found to what we were finding. And interestingly, a lot of plants are extending the time that they are blooming by about a week and a half or so on average. But some of them are increasing the duration of their flowering by up to a month, which is really amazing. And in one way, that's great news. You know, as people, we like to look at pretty flowers. On the other hand, we don't know what that's actually doing out in nature. That is, their pollinators may not be responding to the same cues. They tend to be competing more because you have a lot more different flowers out there. So bees are kind of spreading their efforts among more species, and maybe that's reducing how much any one species is getting pollen, that kind of thing. We don't know the knock-on effects, but we know things are changing dramatically.
And coming earlier in the spring is not great for those of us with spring allergies either.
Right. Yes, exactly. I think maybe the forecasts for that aren't so rosy.
So when you're at the Missouri Botanical Garden, I imagine garden scientists have discussions about what's to come. Do you have to change the approach of how things operate there and change maybe the plants that you plant? Or how does it impact you as a garden scientist at MoBOT?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know the horticultural team has been doing some experimentation. So if you're a gardener, you're aware of these, they call them hardiness zones, and it tells you what kind of plants should be able to grow in your area, given the temperatures and stuff like that. And that's actually changed in the last few decades. We moved into a so-called warmer hardiness zone. So plants that normally in the past wouldn't have grown here now can, and they're more like southerly plants. So the garden is actually testing these hardiness zones because they're updated every few years. But climate is changing so quickly in St. Louis that those hardiness zones maps may actually be a little bit out of date. So they have some experiments out. They're testing plants that normally would go just further south of here to see if they work out. And some of them do and some of them don't. But it is really telling that things that normally never would have been able to grow here, are some of them can do pretty well.
We do really rely on trees a lot in the hot summer months to give us that shade, and yet they're probably roasting as this, you know, as we're not getting enough of water. Should we be watering our trees? Should we be thinking about different trees to plant? Or, you know, then we get these huge storms that just knock them over because the ground gets so wet.
Right. Yeah, it is always a question of, I always think of it as running as fast as you can to stay in place, kind of the Lewis Carroll motif from Alice in Wonderland. I think to an extent we can keep what we have by, like you said, supplementing with water and things like that. But at a certain point, the changes will become so dramatic, the maintenance required will be, I think, pretty prohibitive. And I don't know when that will happen, but it could happen in this century or early part of the next one. I did an analysis to see where, in a sense, where the future climate of St. Louis is right now. And if we really rein in our carbon emissions and other greenhouse gas emissions, by the 2070s, 2080s, something like that, St. Louis's climate will look something like it is right now in northern Arkansas. So not too different, but warmer. However, if we keep plugging along and driving along and flying along and manufacturing along and everything else along the way we are, sometime in, say, the late part of this century, it could look more like eastern Texas, so Nacogdoches, Texas. And, of course, you know, people and plants live there, but they are different experiences. Those are different plants that are living down there. And that could spell kind of whole system change if that sort of future comes to pass.
Wow. Well, before I let you go, do we have any thoughts about the coming year or two? Are we going to be seeing a lot hotter temperatures on top of more strong storms and droughts?
That's a good question. It's always hard to foretell the weather. Climate, however, is in a sense more stable. Like, you know, I can't tell you what the temperature is going to be this coming July 4th, but I'd be willing to bet it's somewhere between, say, 70 and 105. I'm fairly certain of that. And, you know, I'm guessing that on average, it probably would be warmer than, you know, the average past July 4th. Yeah, I don't know. We are probably heading into an El Nino state, and that has provided us, gratefully, cooler springs, which is nice because it kind of extends the spring out before we get the real heat of the summer. It also tends to make it a little bit more rainier. Not always, but sometimes it does that as well in the spring. What comes up in the summer and the fall, I don't know. I'm looking dreadfully looking forward to it. Let's put it that way.
Well, Adam Smith is a garden scientist at the Missouri Botanical Garden, and I appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Much.
Thank you, Debbie.